So to begin, first let's discuss what we know. And going to the presentation here. So the runoff round, it's going to be a runoff round. That's no surprise. The surprise is that, two surprises, Arauz is a dominant front runner. The polls, both Market and Sedatos, had Arauz and Lasso kind of neck and neck and within a technical tie. So Arauz is clearly a dominant lead, and we still don't have any certainty about who will go to the second round, whether it's Perez or Lasso. So we have final results at 97.56%, but it's too tight to call. I don't assume that Lasso will concede. He's probably trailing by about 20,000 voters, perhaps. And throughout the evening into this morning, Perez has had and commanded the lead still. It's going to be extremely tight, and I think it's going to be very difficult to get to the final results. It could be a few days or longer until we have some certainty here, or we could possibly have a recount. So the final count typically takes a few days because you have to worry about the offshore votes, ballots and from remote areas. So it could be a contested and uncertain election, maybe even through this week or longer. The disappointment on two fronts. Firstly, Arauz, as I mentioned earlier, has front runner status. He has a 12% advantage to the other two candidates, Lasso and Perez. And this is not, it may not be a Lasso Arauz trade-off as we thought before, where if you think it's going to be Lasso, if Lasso has the opportunity to pull ahead, which doesn't maybe seem likely, the expectations that policy risk would be much stronger, much more orthodox under Lasso, but now we have the higher uncertainty of policy risk under Perez and the Arauz runoff. So I think the important thing, the important determinant for the second round, there's a lot of uncertainty going to the second round, is who do the other candidates support? If we assume that it's going to be an Arauz-Perez runoff, then the important swing candidate is Xavier Hervas from the Democratic Left Party. He came in as a kind of a dark horse candidate, was able to get 16% of votes, and he's an entrepreneur, I think fairly moderate, but it's really unclear where he would pledge his support. Arauz has already approached him looking for his endorsement, predictably, and he's going to be effectively the most important candidate to determine the outcome if it's an Arauz-Perez runoff. Lasso, oddly enough, already pledged to support two Perez pre-elections, which was kind of strange, but there you go. So Perez looks to be a very strong candidate against Arauz, and it would be a very competitive round if it are those two heading into the final round. So we have a very competitive runoff race, and I think it's going to be many days until we know whether the final outcome is that Arauz-Perez runoff. In terms of policy risk, and I'll discuss mostly Arauz and Perez, I think the markets understand what a Lasso administration would look like. So the higher policy risks really focus on Arauz and Perez. Speaking about Arauz, we've had many weeks now to assess what his economic model would look like. When I look at Arauz, I think that he is effectively Kirchnerismo with fewer financing options. He will focus on public consumption growth, capital controls, perhaps higher taxes, and near term, the funding will probably focus on public sector entities. I don't think it's going to be, there's any potential of tapping the central bank for funding. I have a couple charts here where you can see that the FX reserve bank deposit ratio is very low, and US dollar assets are clearly insufficient. That's a green line to cover all of the USD liabilities. So I think that the central bank is a dead end in terms of financing, and Arauz will probably focus on the Social Security Institute for funding, maybe also China in terms of renewing these oil export loans. And I think the idea for Arauz is to muddle through, source whatever liquidity he can, locally and abroad, and no quick fix in terms of the IMF. I don't see a post-Paso shock for what we suffered in Argentina, similar for Ecuador. I don't think there are fair comparisons. In Ecuador, there's high offshore liquidity. They have a relatively closed capital account, and there's very high liquidity in terms of the domestic banking sector. So I don't assume that we're going to have that same pressure in the local markets that will force politicians to react or that will force a worse near-term liquidity crisis. The muddling through scenario will focus on, as I said earlier, tapping whatever funding that Arauz can. And I don't assume that there would be any preemptive effort to disengage with the IMF or restructure already restructured Eurobonds. The payments to both the IMF and Eurobonds is not upfront. It's an EFF. The bonds have already been restructured, and bondholders have already provided liquidity relief. So there are no near-term significant payments through the next administration. So there's no pressure on either candidate to sit down with the IMF or with bondholders. And that would force, I think, more of a negative shock to confidence. So there's been some recent comments that perhaps that Arauz is more pragmatic. I don't see it as necessarily pragmatic. I think there will be potential for IMF engagement, but I think an upfront program would be very difficult for either Arauz or Pérez. The problem is that during the campaign, all of these candidates campaigned on populism. None of these candidates endorsed tax hikes. They're all looking for either keeping taxes unchanged or possibly even tax cuts. There was no real focus on fiscal discipline given the current social and political realities of this pandemic and the economic stress. So the governability is going to be much more difficult for these candidates once they come into office, and I think even more so if you add ideology into the mix. So it's not clear how you transition from a populist campaign rhetoric to fiscal discipline and the budgetary stress of a structural fiscal deficit without easy access to external credit and mostly saturation and local domestic markets. In terms of Pérez, he's more of an unknown of his economic model. He seems to stress moderation and open dialogue with the U.S. and the IMF. However, this pledge for a referendum to ban mining projects would certainly pose a setback to FDI and exports and a further strain on already weak dollarization. He's proposed some spending cutbacks, but also tax cuts, and actually, in a Bloomberg interview, has also suggested renegotiating with bondholders. I don't think that's I think the reality of the office and looking at the cash flow would not prompt any of these candidates to sit down immediately with bondholders. But I think it will be difficult for Pérez to push a moderate agenda because he would have a very unstable coalition. If you look at Pachakutik, his party, or the far-left communist model of Kone. So I think the challenge for Pérez is trying to pull together a realistic economic program within the political realities of the ideology and the far-left radical factions within his own party. So that's going to be his constraint. The fractured Congress is both good and bad. It deters against heterodoxy, but also compromises overall governability. It would also be a very odd coalition if Pachakutik joins forces with CREO and maybe even the Democratic left with Herbas. So it's going to be a very difficult context in designing an economic program and focusing on IMF relations. I think it's important to look at the IMF challenges. And this first chart here where I focus on the primary surplus targets with the IMF, and I like to contrast it against Costa Rica. We have a gradual 4% primary surplus, and that's what's critical to reduce, if you see down below, the gross financing needs. The gross financing needs are huge. The majority of the financing depends upon the external sector and specifically multilaterals. If there is no engagement for a credible IMF program, it really compromises those gross financing needs, especially if there's no progress on reaching those primary surplus targets. And also the liquidity ratios in terms of the balance of payments and net negative reserves remains quite precarious. So it's a very difficult context with the ideological constraints under either Arauz or Pérez. What Ecuador requires is sustainable economic growth, commitment to fiscal discipline, and that's the necessary prerequisite for an IMF program and future debt repayment. The bottom line is populism is incompatible with this weak dollarization and future debt repayment. So if you see the initial reaction on Eurobond markets, we've had a bit of a sell-off given the rally that we had on Friday on the context of Arauz pragmatism. Those gains on Friday have unwound, but I'm a little surprised that we're not weaker today. The Ecuador 40s have backed up again to near 12% yields. I think in the context of a difficult, politically and socially constrained economic program, uncertain IMF relations, that yields should be higher. And again, the Eurobond and IMF payments may delay into the next administration, but there's really no clarity on how to construct a rational program with fiscal discipline, with the current budgetary constraints. The IMF and Ecuador under the Moreno administration took careful consideration of what was necessary to achieve fiscal discipline, and there's a lot of budgetary rigidities. It's not so easy to reduce the bloated public payroll, especially if under a Pérez administration, the focus is on less openness or less FDI into strategic sectors like maybe even mining or oil. So if we don't have the catalyst for strategic higher growth in these sectors, then how do you displace all these public payrolls and reduce these public payrolls and dismiss these workers? So the focus is been on this controversial VAT tax hike. I think it's going to be very difficult under any administration, but especially so under the ideology of these left candidates. So I will end there. And if anyone has any questions, please enter them into the chat box, and I will be happy to address them. Okay, why don't I start with, I did have a few conference calls already and some interaction with investors, and one of the questions I received was, do we have any specific members of the economic team? Do we know if Pérez or Arauz has any competent technocrats to help design an economic program? And I'd have to say that at this stage with Arauz, most of his economic team will probably come from within Correísmo and within that public consumption growth model. So I don't know that there's any pragmatism yet from within the Arauz economic team. And with Pérez, he's less of a well-known candidate. If he has a broader coalition, if it includes CREO, then perhaps you could have contacts for a technocrat team, but again, building a coalition that's coherent with similar views on economic ideology, I think will be difficult. So that really remains to be determined. And again, on the, the other question I had was, when will we actually find out about the final results? And I think getting that last 2.5% of votes will be challenging and could delay, and there also could be context for recount. So unless Lasso decides to concede, which I don't think he would, then it could be a protracted period until we have that information, until we have the final runoff between those candidates. So I will leave it there. If anyone wants to reach out to me directly or to their sales representative, please do so. But that's just a quick recap of the election overview, and I will be providing more information in the chats and reports as we go forward. So thank you very much.